This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna, and you're listening to another episode of Signal 337. So, every morning, I come downstairs to my home office. I got my coffee, I got my candle lit, because I like candles. And I start going through my inboxes, I start going through all my Slack channels and messages, I start looking at my calendar, and I'm basically trying to get an idea of what my day is going to look like and what things I need to be responsible for, what things I need to be informed about, what things I need to help others with, and what things I need to actually sit down and do some like heads down work on. And frankly, we live in a golden age of communication tools, at least. I wouldn't say we're in a golden age of great communication, but we have more than enough tools that lets us actually work in a way that is not siloed. So let me break this down a little bit more. We have real-time communication tools like Slack and Discord and Microsoft Teams. Which is great. The old head in me is, oh, this is a reskinned business version of AOL chat, but I digress. Those tools are great, though, because it allows us to connect instantaneously, and we can have an entire room where we're talking with each other and getting updates and talking about things and having discussion without having to be in the same room. And then we've got the tried and true email inbox. This is a way for us to be able to send information back and forth, like daisy chaining it back and forth, kind of like ping pong. And it's probably really good for longer messages or whatever, but email is email. It's been around now for, you know, more than 20 years at this point. And then we have Google Docs and Google G Suite for business. And you've got Microsoft Online. Basically, business tools and allows us to comment on documents, work together in spreadsheets, the other actual like kind of work there. So we have so many tools now available to us that we can work, quote unquote, collaboratively. However, the actual practice of good communication, especially asynchronously and through distance, we haven't really gotten that great with it. Miscommunication between individuals through mediums like Slack, through email, through documents, there is so much in the way intent, tone, and mindset that is just absolutely lost when you're writing it purely through a text-based medium. In this regard, many times we have meetings, and meetings are a tried and true methodology tool that everyone uses in any organization to be able to talk to a larger group so that we can gain clarity, gain some insight, delve into a problem, give updates, whatever. But there is a proclivity for a lot of organizations to overly abuse meetings. I once worked at an organization that had pre-meetings, four meetings, to discuss what we were going to do in the larger meeting with another group, and then we would have post-meetings and wrap-ups to talk about how we felt about everything. There was three meetings all about one particular topic. It was not a very well-used portion of our time. We would have meetings that were on our books all the time. There were standing meetings that we just had to be at, even if we had no updates. And when it came to meetings that we were trying to do some ideation and come up with understanding a problem, very poor facilitation and non-existent agendas always crushed what these meetings were about. So, in the spirit of having better communication with your team, with your division, with your organization, with your entire company, let's talk about how to have better meetings, because if you're going to meet with other people and you're going to use all these other tools, poor communication is going to create more work than anything, and it's going to be mind-numbing. So, let's talk about meetings. Meetings themselves are not inherently bad. You hear about, oh, we have meeting fatigue, we have two meetings. Yeah, that's true. A lot of organizations have used meetings in a way to either talk about something on the positive side, should we say. Talk about an idea, get some clarity, get an understanding, get some consensus. Let's have discussion and debate amicably. And when you have a good meeting, you feel like that was helpful. You come out of it being like, all right, we learned some things, we got some understanding, and we have some way, approach to know what we have to do next. That's generally what a good meeting will be about. And those are helpful. And then when you have a team meeting that is, we're just going around in circles, there's no agenda, what's the point? There's no real sort of facilitation. There's real no goals to be had or established for what the meeting is about and how we're going to measure the success of this meeting. Like, when you have stuff like that, when you just basically get in a room, whether it's in person or like in a Zoom, you know, room, there's like, it just turns into a free-for-all. And ends up happening is like power dynamics come into play. Those who want to be heard a lot start to overtake the conversations. And there's really no sort of rules of engagement for how you're supposed to conduct yourself in that meeting. Those meetings aren't helpful. You come out of there being like, the fuck did I just do? What was the point of all of this? It was a negative, and you're like, we shouldn't be doing these meetings anymore. So here's a couple of tactics that all go to the strategy of like how to have a better meeting. So first and foremost, ask yourself, do you really need a meeting? It really starts there. Do you really need a meeting? Could you use other tools that will help to facilitate what the goal is or create some clarity? A lot of times, if you're going to have a meeting, you're going to be talking with your teams around how to have clarity around a particular subject or a particular project or, you know, what you're working on. If it's a meeting for clarity, then absolutely you should be able to set an agenda to talk about why we're having this meeting, what the purpose is, who is going to be speaking on what, and being able to have time for discourse. And then with an idea of like how we're going to wrap up from this meeting. Having an agenda is a great way to set the tone. And having an agenda that identifies individuals who will be speaking on certain areas to provide clarity, and then having areas for discourse, gives people an understanding like, all right, here's what we're going to have in this meeting, versus, hey, we're going to talk about this subject. In what context? So an agenda helps to set the tone, it helps to set the context, and it helps to give clarity of like, why are we having this meeting? So ask yourself first, do you need to have a meeting? If you really feel that you need to have a meeting to create clarity because there's just too many differing opinions or not enough understanding from all the players involved, then that's a good reason to have a meeting. But if you're having just one big hang up around a particular item on a project that you're working on, and you can cite back to other resources like a document or a presentation deck or something on a project, you can then create some clarity around that. And this sounds a little bit nebulous, but it's really dependent upon, you know, your organization, what you're working on. So first and foremost, ask yourself, do you need to have a meeting? If you feel like you're going through your mental checklist of here's the problems that are arising, here's the miscommunications, and if they start to get a little more numerous, then it would make sense to have a meeting with everybody involved. The other thing then that you want to do, besides having the reasoning for a meeting and creating an agenda, is creating the time box for this meeting. So if you set your meeting for an hour, you come out of the gate saying, all right, we have an hour to go through this. If we need additional time, we'll schedule that later. This will do a couple of things. One, it protects everybody else's time and it protects your time because there's some post-meeting work that you have to do to be able to make it effective and valuable. So giving people a time box. Now, that's not saying, oh, Kathy gets 5 minutes, and then John gets 5 minutes to rebuttal. But if you have different people speaking in the meeting, give them a certain amount of time so they can present and talk about their things. You don't want to micromanage the time down to, like, you know, how long each and every person has to have if there is a discourse and a discussion involved. So it's important that you time box certain parts of your agenda for the amount of time that is needed to get certain points across, but don't go so far into detail where you're then just telling everyone only has like a minute or so to give rebuttals or ask questions. So time boxing that. Additionally, when you set firm beginning and end times for things, that should, not always, but should give the importance to all the participants that they need to be on time because their time is going to be respected at the end as well. Too often, people don't appreciate and respect the time of when a meeting starts, and small chunks of change, a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, that can really eat into your time. So another strategy with time boxing is if you're going to set your meeting, say at 3 p.m., say your meeting actually, you set your meeting for 3 p.m., but you don't get started until 3:05. Give people that amount of time to then get into the meeting. This is a courtesy and also allows you to time box still. The reason why that you want to be able to do it this way is that people might be coming from other meetings, their meetings might be running over, people need to go to the bathroom, people need to get a coffee, whatever. You don't want to time box your meeting so that at the very end of another meeting, they have to go right into another one. Give people a few minutes break. I know myself, when I've had back-to-back meetings where I'm literally jumping from Zoom room to Zoom room and I've been sitting at my desk for 4 hours straight, my back is killing me. I have to go to the bathroom and I need something with caffeine in it. And by the fourth meeting that I'm in, I'm pretty haggard and not in the greatest of moods. So give everyone that initial lead-in. Hey, our meeting starts at 3. Starts at 3:05. Give them that 5 minutes there. So that way, if they do jump in, quote unquote, late, haven't really started yet. Additionally, you want to end on a time that is going to end a little bit earlier. So say if your meeting's an hour long, you start at 3, everyone, the actual meeting starts at 3:05. Say you stop at 3:50. This will do a couple of things too. If there is good discussion, it might run out to 3:55. It might go there. And it also gives people that built-in buffer so that they go to their next meeting. So your hour-long meeting ends up at the shortest, like 45 minutes, but could go to 50 minutes and could go out to the complete 55 minutes. But really, you want to take your hour-long block of time and try to create 45 minutes of actual good conversation. So time boxing and strategies like when and how to start. People that understand that this is how you set up meetings and appreciate that will be more engaged, hopefully. Now, around engagement, if you have a meeting, who needs to be in that meeting? Identifying the right participants. So if you're working on an engineering problem and you have to bring in different engineers that are working on the issue, identify who the manager is. Identify the actual individual who is going to be working on that project or has been working on that project and has been bringing up issues. Identify other key stakeholders that need to be in this conversation. Do not just blanket email and invite everyone part of the engineering staff. If you have a question of who should be involved with that, in this case, reach out to the person who's been having the issues. Like, hey, who should I invite to this conversation? Who really needs to be here? It might make sense to bring their manager in, but it also may not. They can really handle it, and they may not need to be part of that conversation. So identify who needs to be a part of that. And if you have trouble identifying who needs to be part of your meeting, reach out to some of the key people that you know that need to be there and ask them, who else needs to be part of this conversation? And when you crowdsource in that way, then you can try to figure out who needs to be a part of there, and then you can appropriately create an agenda and size how long your meeting needs to be. It's incredibly easy to have a really good discussion with 6-7 people in 45 minutes. It's almost untenable to have a discussion in that same amount of time with 15 or 16 individuals. And the longer that a meeting goes, the more and more people are going to be less interested and just dropping out. Figuring out who needs to be there, appropriately sizing the length of the meeting, making sure you have those little buffers of time, having an agenda. And having an agenda that has guides of who's going to be speaking on what areas and where. And then the last part for this is facilitation. Facilitating a meeting is incredibly important, and I feel very underrepresented and not really talked about a lot. But good facilitation makes sure that people are involved and are engaged and are not going off on tangents. I've recently done a thing around critiques about how a good facilitator keeps people all involved and engaged. And this is not too dissimilar from that. A good facilitator might be the person who actually is calling the meeting. It has depth into what the issues are and has also set the agenda. A good facilitator will make sure that people are staying on time and are making sure that we're staying on topic. So when the conversations start to go off into tangents, you want to make sure you pull it back in and be like, hey, that's a different issue. We're talking about this at this point. Let's stay on topic. I've seen some really good facilitation of meetings done with project managers. When they are using Kanban or Scrum meetings, whatever, I've seen some really good facilitation of that because everyone's time is incredibly valuable. So stand-up meetings, in a lot of respect, are pretty good because, hey, what are you working on? What obstacles do you have? What's your day look like? Easy enough. But if you're not doing any of those types of meetings, just having a good facilitator that can take notes sometimes, it'd be even better if you have a scribe, someone who's taking notes the whole entire time. Doesn't actually need to be involved with the problem at all, but if you have a scribe, perfect. But you can have a facilitator take notes and also just make sure that everyone is engaged and make sure that everyone is participating. This can be a little bit of an art to get people to engage because there are some personalities of people that when they're in a meeting, it's uncomfortable for them. It's uncomfortable to speak up and share their opinions and share their thoughts and also get out of them what you need to hear. So it's important that when you facilitate a meeting that you're really ensuring that everyone has a complete understanding of what the goal is, how this meeting is going to be helpful, what we're going to talk about, and being encouraging around like sharing ideas and thoughts. Not everyone in a meeting needs to have a contrarian position on everything. So it's important that you encourage people to participate by bringing up important points that weren't brought up or validating and agreeing with things that are being said so that you can start to understand consensus. If you have one individual who's talking about a really good idea that they have a process for or like they want to move forward with and you think it's a great idea too, that's a great way for a participant to be like, yeah, I think that's good. Let's work with each other on that. That's a great way to encourage engagement. The worst thing about meetings is that when you call a meeting and no one speaks, no one talks, no one cares, everyone's trying to check out because many other meetings throughout the day are just adding to the fatigue of how much like brain drain they're having. So it's important that when you facilitate a meeting and you have good notes, that you're able then to share the outcome. You hear this referred to as a meeting minutes or just notes in general. Here's what we learned from this. And the very last thing is, what is the follow-up from this meeting? What did we accomplish? What are the next steps? And this is where you can go back to your tools for this. You can send the meeting notes out in a Google Doc or a Microsoft document online, give everyone that, and so that you can have particular points, key issues addressed that then people can follow up on, be like, hey, I'm going to take this and move on this, or I'm going to work on this or spend some more time thinking about this. This can then create your next steps of what do we have to accomplish next? What are our marching orders? What are the things that we're going to spend time on? How do we reevaluate where we're at with everything? So meeting notes are incredibly important. So that way you can send them out to the participants And that way they have something, some sort of tangible document that reminds them of what they accomplished, what they talked about, and gives them the ideas of where they need to move on with the contents of that meeting. And then the key thing about all of this is communication. That is the whole strategy, is having better communication. Everything that I talked about is tactics around engagement, how to set up meetings, who needs to be a part of them, having the agenda, all of it roils up to communication. If you're having good communication between your team members, between everyone on the team, and you're able to report information back and forth, you're able to have less meetings because there's more open and understanding communication across your entire organization. Will this get rid of meetings entirely? Hell no. But if you're working within a team or an organization, it's really good to set good meeting etiquette and using some of these tactics so that you have more engaged meetings, more meetings that are meaningful to people, meetings that actually have people engaged with and caring about being a part of, and then actual results from what these meetings are going to hopefully come out with. If you're having meetings just to have meetings, to talk about things, and nothing ever gets solved, that's an expensive waste of time. Think about it. If you are in a meeting with 10 engineers, say they all make $100,000 in their salary, and you are the engineering manager, you're making $150,000 a year. You break that down to your respective hourly rates, and you have a time of an hour to get through something, and that was a very unproductive meeting. Just think about how expensive that meeting was. If you think about breaking down their salary, and I can't math right now, but just say it's $35 an hour. $35 an hour, 10 engineers, you have $350. I don't know. It's expensive, basically, because I am not a human calculator and I can't do math this early in the morning. But if you really think about it this way, that is an expensive meeting. And that's a great way to bring back to anyone who wants to hold a meeting and your stakeholders and your leadership about meetings in general. How do we have more meaningful meetings that are actually positive? Hopefully, this whole rant about meetings, in a way, has got you thinking about how you can hold better meetings and how you can have better communication. Really, when you think about it, if you don't need to have a meeting, think about other ways of communicating with your team members, your colleagues, everyone in your organization. If you have good communication, less meetings, more heads down work, more areas and time for people to think about how they can do things creatively, and you're going to have a much more engaged staff. So with all of that, I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to me rant about meetings. It's something that I feel like is the scourge plague of the business world that doesn't have to be. They are not a necessary evil. They're a great tool. And as always, everything is from my own perspective. It's not indicative of any past or present organizations that I've worked with. And I really appreciate you taking the time, always listening to me and sharing your thoughts and ideas on Twitter and LinkedIn. So take care.